Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
How are you guys doing? These f***ing lights. All these people are sitting here over on YouTube. This is Matthew Tardio. He's kind of a
hello.
He's kind of a douche in a sense.
Big one.
A big one. He's I've known him for 13 years. 13 years. I've known him for 13 years.
That's scary.
That's a long time.
That is, yeah.
One of the first things he said to me is, "What's?" I'll never forget this. He became my NCO or whatever. He was a guy in charge, and I was a piece of shit private. And the first thing he ever said to me was, "What's those date on your wrist?" And I said, "That's my dad. That's the day my dad died." He goes, "Oh, that's my birthday." I was like, "Oh, this is going to be."
That's awful. Actually not how that conversation went. I was like, I looked at it and I was like, "Oh, that's a good day." And you were like, "That's the day my dad died." Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, my bad."
Yeah. That's like, the conversation. That was our first conversation. And my thoughts then as a 18-year-old young man was, this fucking sucks. I don't like this guy.
And my thought was, tie him off to the nearest thing possible so nothing fucking happens to him.
That's like, pretty much what happened. So I got tied to a sit for the next, I don't even know, 5-6 years after that, I was stuck with this guy. But it's fine. It worked out pretty well.
It actually worked out really well. It worked out extremely well.
And this is mainly, I know this, if you guys are on YouTube, it kind of looks awkward because this is kind of a really random setup. I don't normally do duo deals like this, but you know what's going on in Russia and Ukraine? I was like, you know what? I got a gentleman that's actually sleeping in the room next door that spent a bit of time over there. Can you still read Russian?
Yeah.
You can? Okay,
hold on. I'm not the best at it, but yeah.
What does that say? It's a little...
It's packaging for... Shemadonov. It's something for a suitcase. Madonna, it's like a luggage, something for luggage. It's a gift certificate.
It came, is it really?
Yeah, it's a gift certificate. It's it says na Don Sutki. So it's good for one discount for Trebushnik Chimadonov, which is Chimadon is, if I remember correctly, I mean, it's a weird word, but it would be like suitcase or something like that.
I have no idea.
And so it's a fucking gift certificate.
Okay, well, that's good. Thanks, Charles, for that. Anyway, he spent I don't know how many years over in Ukraine. He was an SF. So when I was on my way out, he went to selection 2 cycles before me or 2 classes before me. And he's the only reason why I went. I got injured. He stayed in. He completed, went to, I don't know which group it was right now. I don't know. I don't know exactly.
I went to selection. I came back, and then I had the conversation with you right after selection. And I was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing with your life? And you're like, I was like, go to fucking selection. Like, get the fuck out of here.
That's what happened.
Yep.
And then I went on the next one.
Yeah. And you were literally gone like a month later.
I was. Yeah. It was good. It was a good choice.
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting here making shit-ass podcasts in a tiny room in the back of my house. Yeah. So it's been, life goals have been made. But so what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, I'm going to allow him to speak as much as he possibly can because I know the kind of stuff he did over there. And I know there's probably stories he told me that he cannot tell you guys, unfortunately. But he's going to give you guys some actual fucking insight of what's going on in Ukraine from an actual operator that's actually worked there.
Well, yeah.
I think.
So I have to, and it's got to be... So it is disclosed, right? So this is my break. Like it is on unclassified documents that shows that I was in Ukraine for a time frame.
There you go. That's all you guys know, or all you need to know, I guess.
Yeah. So it does show I was in Ukraine. As far as our specific mission and everything that I was doing in Ukraine and all of that, I can't speak on that, right? Because that would be wrong.
That would be wrong.
That would be wrong.
Really wrong.
Because now we're putting people at like OPSEC is kind of...
Yeah, I get it.
But I did. I went to Ukraine in 2015. So I went to Ukraine in 2015, and Russia jumped into Crimea in 2014. And so after the whole, like, civil unrest, like the collapse, Mike, man, you knew it. So after the civil unrest, that whole, like, collapse, you essentially have, well, you'd have to go back in time, and you got to look and say, okay, well, where was Ukraine during the Soviet Union? After the Soviet Union collapsed, what was Ukraine? And then what did it become and how much Russian influence was over that country, right? Because the Russian influence over that country absolutely takes, I guess, precedence over what's happening today because that Russian influence is still in place today for what's going on over there. So you can't look at Ukraine and Russia as we look at it, like here in the United States. And you can't say that it's its own sovereign government and Russia is doing its own sovereign thing, because all of those people bled over. Because when the Soviet Union collapsed, then we saw the emergence of Ukraine. Well, all those former Russians are still in that country, and they still have ties to Soviet Russia, which, as we know, like Putin came from the KGB.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of these peoples have allegiance to Putin for that reason. And also all the people over in eastern Ukraine where this war is taking place, they also have ties with family. Picture like Afghanistan, how we're like dealing with the Taliban on like the Pakistan border, mm-hmm. right? Like those people don't give a shit, like where they came from. They identify themselves with their family and with ethnicity of being from that particular region. So that's where they're getting all their allegiance from, back and forth in that area. And then just like we would do as SF guys, Russia is going in and they're supplying the separatists with all of their like munitions, power. I'm sure they're, I'm not saying this officially, but I'm sure they're like, me personally, I feel like they're giving them backside support when it comes to all sorts of other things, you know, technologically speaking. There's also open source information where you can find where Russian soldiers have taken pictures, and everybody knows about metadata on pictures these days, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
I've watched some of these actual YouTube videos on right. Russian soldiers in Ukraine.
Right. So there's actual pictures of these dudes like moving and amassing and then like crossing the border, and people will go and they'll like actually take that metadata off the photos and then go to the place from the photos, and it's 100% inside Ukraine. It's no doubt.
I mean, I did that in Europe, in France.
Right. No, the same. Yeah. I did the same thing. We were talking about last night where like you had those side-by-side photo comparisons. That same thing has been done. Yeah. 110%.
I've seen the videos online of actual Russian troops patrolling and actually going into certain areas within Ukraine.
Right.
And then the actual videos come back out that the surveillance that was done in that area, the exact same buildings and the same Russian troops were in there speaking Russian. Right. They had like the same Russian weapons. Ukrainians don't have like certain Russian sniper rifles. These are certain groups.
It's probably one of the biggest arguments that ever came out, like for no shit, Russia's in Ukraine. Besides the fact that we now have like photographs of Russian soldiers in Ukraine and of Russian equipment in Ukraine. Remember that airline that was shot down years ago over Ukraine? Do you remember this at all? So there was a civilian airliner that was flying over eastern Ukraine, and it got shot down. It was cruising at about, I think if I remember right, this is off the top of my head, I wasn't prepared to speak on this, about 37,000 feet. So there was a civilian plane, like a 777. I don't know. We can look this up real quick.
If you want. Well, go ahead.
There was a civilian plane that was shot down over eastern Ukraine, and it was cruising at about 37,000 feet. All right. So the average surface to air missile, right? Like, let's say I'm like shoulder fired, man powered, not cruiser, but just shoulder fired surface to air missile caps out at about 20,000 feet. Most of the time, they cap out around 20K. So we have a civilian airliner that's cruising at 37,000 feet.
Malaysia Airlines Flight 17, July 17, 2014.
There you go.
That's what it was.
So it was flying at somewhere around 37,000 feet, and it got shot out of the sky.
Oh, I do recall this. The 283 passengers and 15 crew were killed. Yeah.
Dead. So Russia shoots this plane out of the sky. And the reason I say Russia did it is because of the height that it was at. Right. And then there was also a Buk missile system, if I remember correct. It was a Buk missile system that was on the ground in Ukraine that was photographed that day. That is 100% in the Russian inventory.
Yeah,
and that's just not something that...
9M83 surface-to-air missile transported from Russia on the day of the crash.
There you go. That is just not something that a separatist force has. That's not something an insurgency has. And it's crew-served, right? Like, people don't understand that the amount of technology that goes into doing something like that.
It's not something you could just hand over to the Taliban or somebody and say, yo, get after it.
And go have at it, right?
I'm trying to see how far up it was in the sky when it went down.
I'm pretty sure it was 37K. 37K. Either way, they shoot this motherfucker down, and Russia denies the whole thing. And then all the photographs and stuff like that started leaking out afterwards. Even on top of that, and this is like some more open source things, just for pushing that, you know, if the pictures weren't enough, if shooting down the airliner wasn't enough, if all of this other crap wasn't enough, and you look at the technological disadvantage that the Ukrainian military currently has over these separatists, again, this would be like us, like an actual government going to war with the Taliban, and all of a sudden the Taliban has this technological advantage over us. So the reason, one of the big reasons for this emerge in secure messaging apps and things like that started coming out, and a lot of people don't know this, is because of that war over there. So when you start looking at all of these other secure messaging apps that came out, and this is why everybody knows WhatsApp, you know, it used to be the secure one, and then Russia breached it. Well, the reason Russia breached it
was because Ukrainians were using it to talk to each other?
I didn't say that.
Oh, well, I mean, I just said it aloud.
So...
Whoops.
So, but when you look at like that, right? And you wonder, how come these guys can't key up on their radios without having indirect fire fall down on them within about 30 seconds? And again, open source information. I'm not speaking about anything that people don't know already. Open source, like Ukrainian soldiers bitch about all the time. They can't use their radios. They can't use cell phones. The moment they key these things up, they have indirect fire falling on their head. That's not something that an insurgency has, right? So where are they getting it from?
Mm-hmm.
So we've already got them on the ground in Crimea. We've already got Russian soldiers moving across the border. We've already got, you know, like airliners, Malaysian airliners being shot down over the region, and they're amassing on the border. And all Ukraine needs is a little bit of help.
No, I get it.
But you want to add like a bigger mix. Now yeah. We talk about the Russian influence over the Ukrainian military.
Sprinkle it on there, please.
Yeah, sprinkle it. So now you talk about the Russian military influence over Ukraine. And so you start adding that in, and now you've already got those spies that are within the Russian military. So they essentially can't move. They can't do a damn thing without somebody else already knowing about it.
And what's the reasoning behind not putting Ukraine in NATO?
Oh, there's a lot of requirements to be a NATO force. A lot of requirements. One, GDP, right? Yeah, this is one of the things that Trump was talking about forever. Like, we're the only nation that's contributing our appropriate amount of our GDP to NATO forces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two, like, their forces, English. English is a requirement, right? Like, to be NATO, what do we do with transmissions? NATO.
Yeah, I know.
Over
I get that.
English.
Yeah.
Then we've got like specific requirements for, you know, different soft units. They have to meet like a certain level of training to be within NATO. And in order for all that to happen, they have to get the support from NATO countries in order to get in there.
Which they should. They're damn near at that point. The only problem they're going to have is GDP. They don't have any infrastructure to even.
No, you're not going to give enough tours of Chernobyl to meet that quota. But at the same time, when we've got Russia that's fixing to steamroll Ukraine, right? And nobody else in NATO, for the most part, feels like contributing their GDP. And yet NATO's going to stand back and they're going to say, you know what, Ukraine, kiss our ass because you can't contribute what you're supposed to. When none of these f***ers do it anyways.
There's literally no possibility that America's ever going to step in and actually put forces on the ground to fight with Ukraine against Russia. That won't happen. Not with the current administration that we have in currently. There's no way that Biden's going to put his testicles on the table and actually do it.
Well, what you actually saw was the opposite. Did you see this a couple months ago when we were moving our warships into the area?
Well, he doesn't want to have any sort of conflict whatsoever, even though we just passed a giant bill today. I mean, it's getting put through the House of Representatives, excuse me, but I don't see him doing any sort of show of force against Russia and or China. I think actually, to be honest with you, I think a lot of people put a lot of stake into China's size just because of the size of the military, but I think Russia is dominant when it comes to actually being able to fight against an actual opposition. Like I think Russia would be a tougher, harder fight than China would be.
Let me tell you why Russia is going to be a tougher fight.
Okay, well, perfect. Yeah. We agree.
Let me tell you why Russia is going to be a tougher fight. We in America, we subscribe by doing things the right way. Do you remember when baiting came out in Iraq? Like, so baiting came out in the Iraq war, right? Like, we'd lay out magazines and equipment and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then people would go.
Yeah, they'll pick it up and shoot them. Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah, God forbid, right?
Yeah, like, I remember that.
Yeah.
But I never was a part of that.
Right. So America lost its shit over that. Hmm. And it was like, that's unethical. You can't do it. And it shut it down.
At the same time, they were shoving fucking bombs in trash cans
right.
on the side of the
doing road. Some of the dirtiest shit to get rid of us, right? Well, Russia takes it to the next advance, right? While we have been focused on technology in this war on terror, and this is Matt's opinion, right? While we have been focused on technology in this war on terror, and we have been focused on, you know, our kinetic engagements overseas with taking out these tiny little terrorist organizations, Russia's been doing the opposite. They've been focusing on field craft, right? And they've been focusing on those little things that actually matter in those battles, and they're not playing by the rules. And so all of their little dirty tricks it's literally to the point where now everybody is in a trench line going across. The place looks like, have you looked at the Donbass region and photos and stuff like that from there?
Not recently. I mean, no. I saw some the other day, but it wasn't of trench lines. It was of masses of forces.
There's trench lines. It's 100% trench lines going across like the Donbass region. Like they have been in a stalemate and they've been stuck in a quote unquote ceasefire.
I've seen the videos in Donbass of the trenches and the Ukrainian forces, the side that they have. And I've seen that they've pushed through some of those. Well, actually, we watched an entire video. I did one on it. Actually, gave me it kind of. Remember when we did that video of the Ukrainian forces trying to push back and try to take out a Russian fighting position?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't pan out too well, at all. This video is on YouTube, by the way. They literally tried to go and do it, but to get up to that actual trench line, but they were trying to go to a hill. Which I when I was watching this, I was instantly thinking to myself, terrible idea. What the are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And of course, the first guy went into the trench, entered the trench, and of course, it was booby trapped.
Yeah.
Booby trapped from hell.
So
blew him up, and then they killed all the other guys that they tried to run away.
I wish I could talk about this right now.
I mean, I don't know.
I can't. I wish I could talk about this right now. They like, their booby traps, they're fucking dirty.
Are they?
They're dirty as shit. Like, they're dirty. Like, they're not clean fighters. Like, things that we look at and we say, this is unethical in warfare, they're fucking doing.
So it's Vietnam all over again? Bungee bits?
It's dirty. It's dirty, and it's not, and people get confused, right? When you look at it and you say, oh, well, this is just a punji pit, for example, or this is just a certain way that they laid this booby trap. But you got to understand, like, the psychological effect that that lays on those troops that are over there, that are going through that, and how that slows their advancement of movement. Because if they just move quick as shit, like, you know, we might, like, let's say we landed, you know, off of X and, you know, and decided to, like, move in, we're not so much worried about anything other than a couple pressure plates.
Yeah.
Over there, you've got way more to worry about than pressure plates. And so they cannot move that fast to get in there. And that creates essentially an entire choke point around everything that they're doing. And so.
That sucks.
Trenches. We're stuck in trenches. Or I'm sorry, they're stuck in trenches.
I'm not stuck in a fucking trench.
Stuck in a trench. I'm
not
sitting here drinking coffee. Yeah, fuck it all. But they're stuck in trenches. They can't do a fucking thing. And meanwhile, the other side is not abiding by a ceasefire. They're still sending indirect fire on top of them. They're still doing all, they're still doing all that crazy shit. And have you seen the sniper weapon systems that are now over on the other side?
I have seen them. As a matter of fact, that was a part of that video I watched, and that's how I know they were saying that they were Ukrainian troops, but they were trying to point out all the weapon systems that they actually had, and they were actually, I don't know, they actually kind of remind me of a recon team, because they were working in groups of three and four, but the equipment that they had was really, really, really sophisticated sniper rifles,
right,
that there's absolutely no way that I could see a Ukrainian force actually having something of that. Like, they actually kind of reminded me of a U.S. military, like, the way that they were working, talking, for one, and the way they were maneuvering through this, they were actually going through a small village, they were clearing a small village, and then they separated, and then they started clearing a trench, and then they moved forward like this, and they were just, the entire way that they were moving, they were not.
So you can draw some really quick lines just based off that information, right? So if we're looking at a place that's just entrenched, right? Like, you've got trench lines. Do you really think there's not roadblocks in place?
Well, of course,
like, Amazon Prime's not coming to that area.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not just going to mail order this, like, to go in there. So with that being said, with that whole area on lockdown, granted, they're going to have their rat lines to sneak it in, but how many $10,000 sniper rifles do you think are floating around over there?
Not a lot.
Right. So where do you think those are coming from, and how do you think they're getting the?
He didn't just have a 10,000.
It's an entire setup.
He had an LRF system that he was calling grids up with on camera. Like,
yes,
he was literally, he put it up to his face, and when he hit it, it was the same. It wasn't the same exact one we used, but he was literally putting it up, and they were. What happens when you change language over from Russian to, I forget, what, come on.
Translate.
They were translating on the bottom. translating it over, and he was literally calling up grid coordinates for what I would assume would be indirect fire. If I was a gambler, man, that would assume what was going on in that, unless they were just trying to get grid coordinates to actual positions and then hit them later. I have no idea. I wasn't there. I'm a f***ing spectator looking from the outside in.
Well, yeah,
that's what I would have done.
But you can still draw common sense lines, right?
Like, well, not everybody's got f***ing common sense.
It's pretty f***ing common sense. Like, anybody, like for example, a private in the military knows what happened in Kabul when we withdrew from Afghanistan was the worst idea ever.
Well,
Period. Don't
even get me started on
the
that.
The way we went about doing that was the worst f***ing idea
ever. If a private in the military, which is probably the average age, is 18 or 19, had the idea that was going to happened. And then you have a gentleman who's been an officer 50 years, couldn't figure it out. The most ironic thing that actually happened about the Afghanistan pullout was the fact that he said we would not be taking people off of a roof like we did in Vietnam or whatever.
And we 100%
did. And we ended up doing it.
You know what the fucked up part about that situation is, though? Like,
everything.
So when you look at, like,
literally,
I'm about to rant for a second. Okay, so this is the fucked up part about this situation, right? Like, everybody that goes into these hostile countries checks in with the U.S. Embassy, right? Like, the U.S. Embassy puts out an advisement, like, this is not a good place for you to be. Please check in when you get here so that we can track you. And the reason they do that is so when these countries fucking collapse the way Afghanistan did, is that we can get our people out, we know where they're at, and we could get them out, right? Like, that's how that fucking works. So I can only assume that
assumptions.
I can only assume, I would hope, that our government, prior to the collapse of Afghanistan, actually put something out to get those people to start moving back to the embassy. And you can draw that line and say that more than likely happened because those people were all moving back into Kabul.
Well, you know,
and then the Taliban, and then the Taliban moved into Kabul.
Oh, I know.
With everybody trapped in. I was getting, I can't make this up. I was getting fucking phone calls of people in basements.
Oh, I
hiding from that. The Taliban. Phone calls of people in fucking basements because the embassy shut down and they couldn't get to the fucking airport. I had information of 150 Americans. 150 Americans that were trapped. I'm not going to say the name of the valley, but they were trapped in this valley as the Taliban fucking surrounded it. 150 Americans. It was a church organization. And our government is going to stand there and say that these people weren't there and we did our best to get everybody out.
Well, no. on a good note, there's actually funding that just came inside the bill I was talking about earlier to do an actual look into what actually happened in Afghanistan. So they're going to actually set up a team of people who are going to look into the events that actually, but nothing's going
to
come.
Great. So we're going to blow more fucking money for these people to get off. Like, how many investigations has our government launched over the years into dirty shit? And they're like, yeah, this is fucking dirty. And then nothing happens. And nothing takes away from the fact that we abandoned like hundreds of thousands of Americans over there. Or not, but at least a few hundred that I know of.
A few hundred, not hundreds of thousands.
Not hundreds of thousands.
He
a
meant
few hundred.
2,000s.
102,000s. Yes, 102,000s. Thank you.
Mash those words together. That's a lot of...
That's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
English matters.
English matters, which I'm not too good at it.
Yeah.
We all know. I speak American. But I was going to tell you, the whole Ukrainian thing that is going on, what are the chances that Russia actually does invade?
Extremely high.
Extremely high. All right. So if that does happen, are the sanctions that Biden is saying he's going to put on them actually, are they going to do anything to them?
Is that a serious question?
Yes.
No.
I'm asking.
No.
So that's
no. How
the case,
how does a sanction stop a superpower like Russia from rolling over and taking over the Donbass?
Talking
region?
About it, how much is it going to hurt the financial state of Russia?
It's not. They're going to skirt it, and they're just going to start
rubies, rubles,
rubles.
It's dog currency, is what right. It is. Who gives a hell?
They're going to export it to another country that also has sanctions on it, right? It's the same. And they're going to get it for even cheaper. So all we're actually doing is we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting other, well, I wouldn't say hurting ourselves, but maybe ammunition costs.
This is,
you know,
the,
what I'm
this is
international
ammunition.
Trade, but they're just going to send it to another country.
You know what is crazy? This is another version of the Cold War. This is a,
what it's called, as a proxy war.
Yeah, it is a proxy war.
So
it literally is a proxy war.
And we did the same,
it's the same thing in Syria.
I was going to say, we did the same fucking thing in Syria.
Fucking thing in Syria. Literally the exact same fucking thing.
They're all
proxy
wars.
It's fighting a fucking proxy war. Syria was a little bit different because the average American didn't realize what was actually going on because they're like,
no.
Oh, it's just Iraq again.
No.
All over again. It was not. It was a fucking proxy war between Russia and America. And now you're about to do the same thing. Like,
do you know what
you need to do? Take a pause real quick. Explain a proxy war dumbed down for somebody who's listening that has no idea.
Okay, so the dumbest down version of proxy war that I can come up with is, Rob, you really like Coors.
Yeah.
I really like Bud Light, and I don't. I think they're both piss beers.
Okay.
Okay, so instead of Bud Light and Coors cans smashing together, okay. You decide to dump all your money and funding and a little behind-the-scenes power into Coors, and I do the same thing to Bud Light, and we see which one comes out on top.
Yeah.
That's a proxy war.
There's a proxy war for everybody. Weird analogy using beer cans, but I'll take it. I get it. I understand. Could have just went with red team or blue team, but we'll go with Coors and Bud Light.
Yeah.
Continue.
Keystone.
Keystone, god dang. I've actually had some terrible mornings. I quit one of my jobs one time because of Keystone. 30-30 to the dome. Don't do it.
Yeah. But yeah, so same thing happened in Syria.
Yep.
Right? Like you've got...
I know.
Yeah, same thing happened in Syria, same thing's happening in Ukraine. Yeah. I don't know how in-depth you want to go into proxy wars, but...
Oh,
did you spill your coffee?
No. I thought I almost did. Okay, with that being said, how long is it going to take Russia to actually walk over Ukraine? Are they going to walk? Is it going to be speed bump? Is it going to take a month? Is it going to take 6 months? Is it going to take 1 year?
It depends on how much...
Are they going to take the entire country of Ukraine? And if they take the entire country of Ukraine, are they putting the neighboring countries at that time in son of a weird predicament?
I mean, you're asking me to do a lot of forecasting.
You're supposed to. That's what I brought you on here for, because you are
so
the king.
So then we have to break it down.
I got to look at a map real quick, too, because I can't remember what's on the top of Ukraine and what's on the bottom right now.
You're
fine. I want to say Turkey.
You're fine. So, no, you're wrong. So
okay, well, there you go.
So let's say we take like a couple different approaches, right? Let's say we just do Russia is currently in this like guerrilla stage, right? Like they're going in there, they're providing some behind the scenes support. They're probably doing some fighting. They're putting that in, right? Their next stage up would be having a full on, not a full on military assault, but actually committing like infantry, ground troops, things like that. And then the next part is then just committing total warfare. You know what I mean? Like blitzkrieg and just.
But they have already set up for that. The whole blitzkrieg.
No, they do. They've been staging on the borders for years.
But it's so set up currently right now that they have like a lot of people don't think about this. To set up a blitzkrieg or just set up any type of invasion into any type of country, you have to have logistical lines set up because you can't just get there and then go in and not have reinforcement type stuff set up. They have their logistics set up to a T right now, from fuel, ammunition, like all the way is all set up at the border waiting. So they literally can have a lifeline to their mother home or motherland to get reinforcements in, so they're never having to have a lapse. Or a lapse in time.
Right. No, they can straight roll. Literally just go. They can straight roll. Like, I think the range of tanks is classified, if I remember right.
I have no idea.
But essentially, if you're going to bring in tanks, and they'll need tanks because, like I said, we got trenches, right? They could either bring in like tanks, but aircraft and all that stuff.
You were lying to me. Turkey's kind of close. It's just not. Has a black sea in between them.
Yeah, thank you. I felt really bad at that point. I was like, we're going to have to scrape this whole thing because I look like a dumbass. I know for a fact Turkey
is
like,
south of it, but the black sea is between them.
Yes.
So you got Romania. But that's what was my question. So if they go through here, are they going to stop? Are they going to be done and then try just to expand?
Yeah.
And
so
keep this little nipple.
So let's just go with Blitzkrieg.
Okay.
Let's go with Blitzkrieg. Let's just say, let's start at the top and go Blitzkrieg. If they Blitzkrieg, they are 100% going to run right over the top of Ukraine. What you're going to end up seeing is you're going to see other, let's call them Eastern Bloc countries, right? Ones that used to be underneath the Soviet reign, probably going in and trying to help out Ukraine because they don't want that to happen, right? Like, nobody hates Russia more than Eastern Bloc countries that used to live under Russia. So those countries are going to go and try to help out. Whether or not they're part of NATO, I would put my life savings on this, that those countries will go in and they will help out. The problem is that none of those countries are big enough to compete with Russia. And so you're going to end up watching that insurgency flip-flop. They don't have a reason to advance any further because the moment they do, now they have NATO countries on the outskirts. If they were to go and they would fuck with one of those NATO countries, they would make a crucial mistake. So I don't see that happening. I don't see them going into another one. There's no reason. You know, Putin's whole idea, right, being a former KGB guy, is basically to restore the Soviet Union. And so it goes against his own beliefs to start taking over Germany, for example. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck would Putin have to do with Germany at this point? He doesn't care, right? Like, he's watching the EU and like Brexit and all of this other crazy shit, and he knows that like it's going down the tubes pretty quick. So he's got nothing to worry about as far as those guys are concerned. What he's concerned about is restoring the former Soviet Union.
So if that's the case, do you think he's actually friends with China, or do you think he's frenemies with China?
Frenemies.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And so when you
straight frenemy.
Well, here's the other cool part, right? So when you look at that and you go, okay, well, what is this motherfucker thinking? Because he's a smart guy. You can't just be like, well, he's looking at Ukraine. Remember what I said about those other Eastern Bloc countries chipping in, right? And you asking, is he going to stop Ukraine? So if those other Eastern Bloc countries chip in and they actually start helping out Ukraine, what can Russia now do? They're going to start fighting those other countries. And then they're going to slowly start rolling those back underneath the Soviet Union to restore it. Or, excuse me, underneath Russia to start restoring it, because they're going to be like, look, you're messing with our own affairs. You have no business doing this. You attacked us. Now I have the moral high ground to go in and attack you.
So is this the start of World War III?
It could be. It very well could be. 100%. It very well could be. Because some of those countries, some of those former Soviet bloc countries are NATO allies.
Oh, man.
So if one of those NATO allies gets into it and Russia goes in, now you have NATO involved.
Man, I'm not going to say that I feel like I've been having this conversation. I was talking to him earlier about doing these podcasts for you guys and just doing them in general, that it's like having a conversation with myself for 30 or 40 minutes, literally. It's what I'm doing in here. Every morning I'm having a conversation with myself. And this time we were about to start a conversation while we're drinking coffee out of my kitchen. And I said, you know what, Tardio, shut the fuck up. We're going to talk about this on mic so people can understand what we talk about even outside of this glory hole of a room.
Right. Yeah.
Weird terminology there.
Yeah. And what's really weird is the amount of guys that are actually having the same conversation that actually know what the fuck they're talking about and can read between the lines. And we don't have this vast intelligence agency reach.
Hey, that's what I mean, going on. I was talking about Afghanistan. I have no intel and I can see what the fuck is going to happen. And then it unfolded and happened.
It unfolded right
the exact
in front of
same
us.
Thing happened, like to the T. Within 2 weeks, it was all just on the table. And the same thing's happening right now.
Did you talk about the Afghan president rolling out with a plane full of cash the night before the Taliban rolled in the capital?
I did. And that's still to this day. Where is he?
He took off.
Yeah, but where is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I talked about the amount of money that he took, and it was never an exact. It was always an estimate. It was all. You know what? I got to look it up now because this was literally.
It was its own aircraft.
It was like three months ago or something. But I'm talking about the amount of money that they thought that he had taken.
Either way, he took a metric ton, and those people like
150 million.
Right.
Yeah. So it was $150 million.
The night he rolled out. He gave a stand down order to all the Afghan national police, all the military and everything that was in there, and told them when the Taliban comes in,
not to do anything,
that their job was to facilitate a peaceful transition. And that is when everything went to shit.
Dude, I've talked about so many times about Afghanistan, by the way, about how the amount of wasteless spending and time was done over there. The same thing in Iraq. We could have been done in Iraq very, very fast. And I thought, and it was kind of crazy. A lot of people always think we were there for like gold and oil. I never once protected anything oil related. I've been around a ton of oil in Iraq. No. Like we were around a ton of oil
everywhere,
but it was never something that we're like, you know, we're going to go guard this oil so we can take it. We never.
No, the only reason it was there is because it was like the stories that you hear about people guarding oil in Iraq is because it was critical infrastructure.
Yes. It's critical infrastructure. We weren't there to guard it for we could take it. We would roll by an area, patrol by an area.
We had the same ROE for an electrical station that we did for an oil facility.
But it's the same. Like, it wasn't for us to retain. Like, there's these pictures of us with gold bars from the beginning of the war. American soldiers did not take those gold bars and take them home. I don't know why people
not
think.
All of them. I know a guy that might have smuggled some money and a teddy bear back home, but, like, not all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, It wasn't like we were shipping gold bars back to the U.S. and put it in Fort Knox.
These gold bars is what I'm talking about. Huge little gold bars. And I was like, yeah, there's no way someone is smuggling back a gold bar that size. Were they shoving up their ass? That wasn't a thing that was happening.
No.
But in Afghanistan, people, for some f***ing reason, it's always the one with the circle sunglasses or circle glasses and the purple hair, are always talking about how we were taking oil from Afghanistan. And I always just wanted, I wish I could have a conversation in person with these people.
And just punch
them
in the face.
Like, not entirely, like, just
read.
Like, are you that stupid? What, you can't even, like, is there even an oil field in Afghanistan that I know
have
of?
Never seen one.
I have never
one. I've been in the Northeast. I've been in the West. I haven't been in the in pretty much the only place I haven't been in that country is like the Southeast corner.
Okay, I've never been in the South.
Like, if you were to take the entire thing and pie it off, I haven't been in the Southeast corner, but I know there's no oil flows down there.
There's a ton of minerals, as in like
natural resources.
Do you
want to go down a rabbit hole? Because I'll go down a rabbit
China
hole.
China is taking. That's another reason why.
All right. We're fucking doing this. We're going down this rabbit hole. Okay. So here's the part, right? And this is why I'm so
Do we save this for an entirely different episode, Charles? How many minutes deep are we, Charles?
We are 40 minutes deep right now.
Okay, let's save it. All right. Cut a new one.
Gotcha.
How long can you make the China rabbit hole?
Really good. Deep.
All right, here we go. You ready, Charles? Go ahead and cut it. We'll start. Okay, so thanks for listening to this video. I know we're going to break it up into three parts because it changes so much throughout this entire podcast of this video. So I hope you guys did enjoy this. If you're not watching this on the YouTube channel, please go over and check it out. Other than that, I do love you guys. Thank you so much. Stay tuned because this thing keeps getting juicier and juicier.